Blog Talk Radio.
And that can only mean one thing. It's time for another edition of SNY's TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I'm your host, Anthony Donahue, with you, going to take you up until 11 p.m. right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. As always, you can hit me on Twitter, and you can hit me on Facebook, Facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. You can follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. And like you can every day, you can go to TheKnicksBlog.com for all your up-to-date New York Knicks information by Tommy D, Moke Hamilton, Andrew Smith, Chris Alvano, and all those boys. My homie Brad Wolf, the Wolfman, will be taking the calls tonight right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. And you know the number to call up is 646-478-5554. Once again, that's 646-478-5554, so give me a call. We have tons to talk about. My guest lineup is very, very strong tonight. In a little while, we'll be joined by former Knick fan favorite Anthony Mason. Will be joining the program right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. At around about 10 o'clock, we'll be joined by one of the biggest young writers in sports right now. That's Alex Kennedy from HoopsWorld.com. You can follow him on Twitter at AlexKennedyNBA. And later on in the show, about 10:30 or so, we'll be joined by Ryan Schumann from Hornets247.com. We'll break down the Chris Paul situation. Obviously, we'll talk about the Chris Paul situation with Alex Kennedy, but Ryan is down in New Orleans. He has a buzz of the Hornets organization. Ryan will have a buzz of the people in New Orleans. What's going on? How do the people feel? Also, before we get into everything else, right here on TKB Radio, have I mentioned it's just great to be back? I still feel a little rusty. I thought the first show back was pretty good. Had my man Brandon Tierney on all the way from San Fran, 95.7 The Game. But it's like I still feel a little rusty. It takes some time. Listen, every day I wake up, I talk. I'm always talking. But there's a difference between talking and doing a show. Also, want to let everybody know about some new stuff I'm going to be doing right here on TheKnicksBlog.com. Also via Twitter, AnthonyMSG, and Facebook, Facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. I want everybody to check out Charge.fm. It's a website. You can go there, get information. You can get tickets. You can sell your tickets. You can buy other tickets from there. And I'm going to be putting together a New York Knicks event. Most likely we're looking at Friday, December 16th. And what I'm looking to do is sell tickets to the event for drink specials. And you'll be able to get those tickets at Charge.fm/AnthonyDonahue. So if you want to right now, go to charge.fm and familiarize yourself with the website. That's something that I'm going to be talking a lot about throughout the season for Knicks fans. It's a great thing. So like I said, charge.fm and familiarize yourself with the website. Have some fun and we'll go from there. So we have plenty to talk about tonight right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. And I think the first order of business is, as always, the Chris Paul situation. And Chris Paul was in New York City yesterday, along with LeBron James, along with Dwayne Wade, along with Carmelo Anthony, and they weren't all on the same team, but I know Knicks fans are getting very excited about Chris Paul. It's almost like with the New York Knicks, and right now the Knicks are obviously moving in the right direction, but it's almost like it's never about basketball with them. Now, this is not a bad thing. This isn't a bad off-the-court issue. This isn't like, you know, the sexual harassment stuff or the Fire Isaiah stuff or the Fire Laden stuff. But it almost feels with the New York Knicks, it's always just something else. Can we ever talk about what's going on the court? And, I mean, you got to be excited about Carmelo Anthony. You got to be excited about Amari Stoudemire playing together, Chauncey Billups. Listen, the idea of getting Chris Paul is awesome, and I'm pumped about that. But let's talk about what's going to be on the court. And I think Chauncey Billups is rested up. I'm excited about Chauncey. And I think, listen, Chris Paul on this team would be awesome. Anytime you can put Chris Paul with Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony, that's a beautiful thing. That's a great thing. But I don't look, not saying I don't want Chris Paul. I would be a fool not to want Chris Paul. I'm not going to sit here and say that Chris Paul is a need, though. You know what a need is? A big. A big is a need. Chris Paul is a want. Chris Paul makes you better, but that's more of a want. A big is a need. Another shooter is a need. Chris Paul is a want. 646-478-5554. We're going to be joined by former New York Knick Anthony Mason in a little while. Got a lot more to talk about on the show, but so many people didn't get through last time, so I want to start taking the calls a little early tonight right here on TKB Radio. So let's start it off, 646-478-5554, and let's start it off with Jeff from Minnesota. Jeff, you're on the air, theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
What's going on, Anthony? Long time no talk. It's good to have Knicks basketball back.
Oh, it's great to have Knicks basketball back. Jeff, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I was actually in town not too long ago, but for the holidays. But just ready to get the season started, man. I think the Knicks, you know, it's just an exciting time to be a Knicks fan, you know, with all the, you know, the Chris Paul talk and everything else. But, you know, like you said, it's more about what's on the court right now. And the Knicks, you know, have a lot of needs, you know, with 5 free agents and having to fill this roster out. I mean, they're going to have to go get a big somewhere, you know, whether
I said, I'd love to have Chris Paul. It's like last year, I said I'd love to have Carmelo Anthony, but at the time the Knicks were playing good. So I said, let's focus on the product that's in hand. So while I would love to have Chris Paul, to me, he's not a need. He's a want. He makes you better, but he's a want. A big is a need. A shooter is a need.
Well, how do you think they're going to fill out this roster? Do they bring back Sean Williams? Do they bring back what was the kid they got from Charlotte? Brown.
Derek Brown. Yeah, I think there's a good chance. I think Derek Brown will be back. I think Andy Routins will be back. Landry Fields will obviously be back. I think Jared Jeffries will be back. I think Sean Williams will be back. I mean, I could be wrong on everyone, but I think those guys will be back. I'm not going to say for sure that Anthony Carter will be back. I'm not going to say for sure Sheldon Williams will be back. But I think Jared will be, Roger Mason. At the same time, like you just said, the Knicks have to fill up the roster. So, you know, I mean, listen, all those guys are welcome back to me, but all for the right price. You're not going to give Jared Jeffries another 6-year, $30 million contract. Obviously, you can't with the CBA anyway. But for the right price, you know, Jared's welcome back. You know, listen, they're not going to give out more than 1-year contracts unless it's for, you know, the exception. So the weird thing about that is, Jeff, is that why I agree, because you don't want to set yourself bad like the Knicks did 10 years ago with bad contracts. It always seems to be about next year with the Knicks. And you have two guys in their primes. So it's a tough spot. I'm not complaining about it because I get it, but it's also a tough spot.
It's a weird season, you know, with possibly having a lame duck head coach and D'Antoni.
How about a lame duck general manager?
Exactly.
I mean, you're going to tell
general
me that Glennie Grunwald is here for the long haul? No, he's not.
You know, but I think D'Antoni might have something going here, because I think the Knicks system might just work to their benefit, you know, because, you know, teams are, you know, players are going to be rusty for not really playing, and, you know, it's going to be a short abbreviated preseason. You know, the up-and-gun style the Knicks play, if they get some depth on the team, can actually play to their benefit. And, you know, they could jump on teams early and maybe gel later on towards the season and, you know, maybe help be able to build up a little bit of a lead there in the Atlantic Division.
Yeah, no, I agree. It should be an interesting season. Now, listen, one thing I talked about on the show, and Jeff, as always, man, thanks for calling. I always appreciate your calls. But another thing that also could happen is a trade. I don't know who's going to get traded or who's on the block, and that's something I'll ask Alex Kennedy from Hoops World. You know, don't rule out the possibility of a trade. Don't rule out the possibility of Knicks picking up a player that got amnestied from another team. 646-478-5554 is the number, theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Nikki from Brooklyn. Nikki, you're on the air, theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Yo, hey, what's good?
What's good?
What's good? And, yo, long time, man. Glad to have my Knicks back.
Yeah, I'm glad to have the Knicks back as well.
Yo, what I was going to say is, everybody with this Chris Paul talk, you just said it yourself, we need a big. They don't teach no big. Let's go after Dwight Howard. Let's go after Michael Redd. By the Mason,
well,
you gone.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I was going to say, Michael Redd and Dwight Howard are not the same player. But,
I'm saying that Michael Redd is a shooter because I do not trust Landry Fields at the two position. I'm sorry. I don't. The kid has to go.
I'm all about looking at Michael Redd, but I'm not sure if you can trust him as a starting shooting guard. I'm all about looking at him. I'm all about seeing what he can do. But I think he'd be better fit at this point of his career with all the injuries and getting up there. No, he's not even that old. It's just all the injuries.
I'm not trying to give him a starting role either. I'm trying to give him the 6-7 man position right now.
So if you give him the 6-7 man, you got to keep Landry at starting and shooting guard then, which is fine.
Of course. Yeah. That's what I mean. I trust Landry at the starting, but because Michael Redd has his knee problems, I understand that. But I need Michael Redd to be signed to this team because I do not trust Roger Mason. I do not want Roger Mason back in my team.
I'll tell you what. I'll be the first to admit this. When the Knicks first signed Roger Mason last year, Nikki, I was actually excited because he played pretty well in Washington and played pretty well with the Spurs. Had a lot of clutch jump shots to win games, actually. I mean, he was a total bust last year.
Yeah, bum. Like, I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful, but I didn't like the way he performed last year. Anthony Carter, I do not want in my team. Sheldon Williams, I do not. The only two people, only person I really want to come back from last year that's a free agent is Sean Williams. He deserves it. The kid really wants, he's willing to sign a 1-year contract for $2 million. What more can you ask for?
And I think Sean Williams will be back.
Other than that, we should go after Dwight Howard, man. Let's see if we can get Chauncey to play for cheap next year or Steve Nash to play cheap for next year. Other than that, that's the way I see it, man, because Chris Paul, he's 25, and his legs are messed up too. So why are we going to have two superstars with legs?
I think Chris Paul should be fine right now, but I'm not going to – I mean, I'd rather have – listen, I don't think Mike D'Antoni's here for the long term. So I have no problem with – look, let's how about this, hypothetically speaking, Nikki? What if you can't get Chris Paul and you can't get Darren Williams, okay?
We go after Superman. That's what I'm saying.
No, but somebody has to play the point guard position. That said, do you sign Chauncey to a 2-year deal at a small rate if you can't get one of those two guys?
That's what I'm saying. I signed Chauncey for the veteran minimum or Steve Nash for veteran minimum. Chauncey would play for veteran minimum.
I'm not sure about veteran minimum. I think he's worth a little bit more than that.
Chauncey is ready up there in his career. He wants another ring. And you don't think Chauncey will play with the best, with a Melo, Stack, and Superman? He plays for free if he has to, I think.
Guys still got pride. All I'm saying, it's crazy. Next year's free agent class, it's not as big as the LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Amari Stoudemire, Dirk Nowitzki class, but this class coming up in free agency, Darren Williams, Chris Paul, and Dwight Howard is definitely pretty serious. And the bottom line is, everybody talked about this back in 2008 when Donnie got the job. It was all about 2010. But it also was kind of a 4 or 5 year plan. And
every team
gets gifted with a trade for Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen with a Celtics from winning 21 games to a championship. So I get the fact that it's a 4 or 5 year plan, but it's still gonna take some time. It's still gonna take some time.
Yo, and I gotta tell you how you feel about Frank Isola talking about your boy Jamal Crawford coming back.
How do I feel about it? I mean, I have no problem with Jamal. I like Jamal. Jamal's a good guy. He's improved a lot. But does he fit in with this team? Well, that's the question.
Not at all. Too many ball handlers in this team.
Exactly. So, if you got Jamal back at the right price, him coming off the bench would be nice as a guy who brings energy up the bench. But here's the thing. Jamal came back to the Knicks. He's going to want to start. Because there's no way Jamal's going to let Landry Fields start over him. So now, let's just say you had Jamal Crawford. You're going to tell me Jamal Crawford, Chauncey Billups, Amari Stoudemire, Carmelo Anthony, they'll be fouling each other.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I'm really interested to see this kid Jordan from Jamal Jordan.
I think we all are.
I've seen his little tape on the Knicksblog.com that Tom threw up. And I like this kid. You know, I even liked the name in Summer League. Even though he was a little rusty and stuff, but, you can't teach hypeness. And you understand what I'm saying? I want to see what the kid's about. Also, I want to see what the kid from Kentucky's about. That big stucky team.
Harris. Yeah, no, Nicky, and I appreciate you checking in, man, as always, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, man. Good looking at
it. All right, Nicky, take care. 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. We'll go back to the calls in a little bit. Right now on the line is a New York Knick from 1991 to 1996, excuse me, actually, was one a very popular player, fan favorite. Please welcome making his TKB radio debut, number 14, Anthony Mason. What's going on, Mace?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
I'm chilling. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Enjoying good company. I'm doing good.
That's good, man. You know, I was telling my followers today on Facebook, when I was actually in fifth grade, the Knicks were down 3-2 going back to Indiana, and I got NYK carved inside of my head. It's like you, man.
Hey, you know, I always try to inspire the young fellas.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, Mace, glad to have you on the show. As you know, the lockout just ended, and the Knicks are about to start the 66-game season on Christmas Day. You went through got a little noise in the background.
Can you say it again?
I said there's a little noise in the background.
Yeah, I meant BBQ.
Oh, okay, which one? Did you want us to hit you back, or?
Nah, this is good. We can do it. I can hit you.
Okay. So anyway, you went through a lockout once before. What's it like for a player going through the lockout and as far as like staying in shape and never knowing when the season's actually going to start?
Well, you know, for a player like me who was considered a 1 in 20,000 chance, you know, went to Tennessee State, it's not a big school. A player like me is always going to be in shape, so that wasn't a problem. My worry and my concerns was being able to take care of my family. My worries and my concerns was that I would get a good deal where I could be able to take care of my family, my kids, for the long haul. That was my major concern. Being in shape was no problem for me.
So you were always in shape during the lockout. So the lockout ended in January of 1999. You were ready to go.
Say it again?
So when the lockout ended in January of 1999, you were ready to go.
Oh, I was definitely ready to go. Soon as the basketball got played, I was ready to get out there. Unfortunately, I tore my bicep muscle, and I couldn't play that season.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And if you were, well, since I know you didn't play, you were obviously watching games. If you remember, there was some pretty bad basketball on the court that year. Do you expect to see some of that this year? Hello, Mace.
It looks like we lost him.
Oh, is that
we lost him.
Is that my producer, the Wolfman, coming on the line?
Yeah, but he hung it up.
What up, Wolfman? Why don't you stand in line with me for a minute? How you doing, man?
I'll call Mason back. It looks like Revis pulled a Francesa on you.
Yeah, and I don't think Mason hung up on me. Yeah, you can get him back in the line, Wolfman.
I mean, how often do you have guys talking about that they're at a BBQ on live on your show?
That's true. I was just trying to figure out what BBQs he went to. He was at because when my sister's in the hospital at Columbia, we always went to the one on 165th and Broadway. I'm wondering what BBQs he's at. You know, it's not
here.
But then again, he's calling back.
Yeah, he's right here.
All right, Mace, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. So what I was saying was during the last lockout, that 50 game season, there was a lot of bad basketball. Do you expect to see like maybe the first 20 games a lot of sloppy ball?
Yeah, definitely, because there's no workout like NBA workout. So if you're working out at your local high school or you're working out at your local valley or you're working out on your own, it's nothing like NBA workout. So they're going to have a little rust in their period. You know, there's going to be a lot of rust. They got to get through that for the first 10 to 15 games, and then you're going to see real basketball.
Let's talk about the New York Knicks coming into this season. They got Carmelo Anthony last year at the trade deadline. Him and Amari Stoudemire and Chauncey Billups didn't get to play that much games together yet. What are your thoughts overall on the New York Knicks going into the season?
What's my thoughts overall? What?
On the New York Knicks going into the season.
I think with the training camp and with the addition of Shepard and the kids from Kentucky, I think the Knicks got a big upside. I mean, Carmelo, I don't think nobody has answered his spot. Nobody has an answer for him yet. Amari Stoudemire, when he's playing his best basketball, nobody has an answer for him. So when you add all the role players to the game, and a full training camp, I think they're going to be a dangerous team. Are they ready for a championship? I don't really know, but it's going to be exciting to watch.
Can the Knicks play enough defense to win, though? Because it's been obvious the last few years, the Knicks have won some games, but they're winning games 125 to 120. Can the Knicks play enough defense to go deep in the East?
I mean, the Knicks will win because they'll put up more points than a lot of people. And I think they're going to have a defensive mindset this year more than any other time. So I think they'll be real successful.
I think they possibly could. What are your thoughts about Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony and that duo? Is this something that can work long term, you think?
It could definitely work long term. As long as they have a basketball, a training camp together, I think they'll figure out the two-man game between each other. They'll figure out that he wants to be here, and he wants to be here, or he wants to be low, he wants to be outside. That's what training camp is about. It's about figuring out each other and making a play work. I believe they'll develop a two-man game. I believe they'll be very successful.
Talking to Anthony Mason right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Another big issue with the New York Knicks is the coach, Mike D'Antoni. He's going into the last year of his contract. He plays a style of ball that Knicks fans aren't accustomed to. Knicks fans want that tenacious, in-your-face defense. There's two things about that. One, he doesn't coach that. And two, the game has changed a lot back when you and Oakley and Patrick Ewing played, where you guys just flatten somebody on their ass and you're just getting a foul. Now that's getting you suspended for five games.
Well, you know, the basketball has changed, but at the same time, I keep telling people like this. You can't be soft today and play hard tomorrow. If you play hard the whole time, the referees will get accustomed to it, then you'll be able to play that tenacious basketball. You can't be soft today and hit somebody tomorrow. You got to come out the gate, hit somebody, no layup rule. This is how we're going to be the rest of the year, and the referees will get accustomed to it.
Now, when you played, Mace, you had that no layup rule enforced, right? I mean, that wasn't no joke.
Oh, we definitely had a no layup rule. It wasn't so much just no layup rule. It was like, you're not going to come in our house and do what you want to do. You're going to have to earn it. And we had great and exciting players on other teams as well as ours, so they had to earn it.
Did that happen a lot in practice with you guys going up against each other? Or if it, like, John Starks went to the hole in practice, would you flatten him?
I would flatten John Starks. He would flatten me. Oakley would flatten me. I would flatten Oak. That's how we played ball. That was man basketball when we played. Wasn't no out of bounds, no takeouts. We going to the whistle. So that prepared us for being out there in the wars and in the trenches. Nowadays, there's so much pretty basketball and don't touch him. It's almost like an NFL rule. Don't hit the quarterback.
You know what's funny? Because you played a tough style of ball, Mace, but you actually had some flair to your game. You actually had a little style as well, too.
Well, I mean, I was a person to play. You know, I had a nice handle. I could shoot the ball. I call myself a versatile player. Why I try to teach my kids to be personal. Because my theory is you sub a person over and don't sub them out. If you can only play one position, that means when they put somebody else for you, you got to come out. If you versatile and you can do more than one thing, that means the coach will sub you over instead of subbing you out.
Yeah, because you could play the four or the five. I mean, when Don Nelson was the coach, he had you running the point.
Well, I was always a point in my heart.
You were always a point guard?
I thought I could always make plays. I thought I could always make the right play. Find the right person. So I was always a point guard in my heart.
Did you ever tell Pat Riley that you were a point guard?
Pat Riley knew it, but he didn't want to admit it until he came to me one day and told me, yo, you when they press, I need you to bring the ball up. And I was like, really? I thought I was doing that already.
That's funny. You should have been like, yo, Pat, let me run the show, man.
Nah, we had great point guard. We had Derek Harper. We had Ray Anthony, Doc Rivers. We had Mark Jackson. We had a lot of great point guards, so I didn't need to do it then, but I always like to be able to help.
During the summer and the lockout, MSG's been running a lot of old Knick games, so I've been watching a lot of them. When you watch those old games, Mace, what's your favorite memory, your top two favorite memories that you were a part of?
Well, taking New York to the finals was one of my greatest memories. Winning Sixth Man of the Year award, because that's the only one at that time and that year, was a great memory. But my biggest memory is my family coming out and supporting me for all my games in New York.
Yeah, no, that had to be a great feeling. And what, looking back, I know the Knicks, you know, so many fans, like myself, well, I'm 28, so I never experienced the Walt Frazier days and all that. So many fans hang on to those 90s Knicks as the glory days. If there is one thing that the Knicks were missing to get that championship, what do you think it was? Or was it just Michael Jordan?
You said it was one thing that what?
Was it one thing that, what was, I was going to say, I was saying, what was one thing the Knicks were missing to get that championship? Or was it just too much Michael Jordan?
I mean, you know, you're a Michael Jordan fan, so no, it wasn't too much Michael Jordan. John Stockton's one shot in the sixth game, and it's over. We champion, and it's a whole different history. Just like John Stockton by himself almost won game six. You know, a lot of people want to judge John the wrong way because seventh game he was off. In the sixth game, he almost single-handedly took us to the championship, and you got to respect that. So we was a shot or two away from winning the championship. It had nothing to do with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is a great player, and I won't take nothing away from him. But if we make a few shots, get a few stops here, we right there. It's not like Chicago blew us out. You know, they beat us, and we beat them. Unfortunately, they got more wins than we did.
Who on the – no, I agree with you, man. People, I always said, people forget that John Starks had a great game. Not only that, he had a great game six when the Knicks were down 3-2 in Indiana in 1994.
Well, I mean, John is a tenacious player. He's a hard-nosed player. He's one of the shortest twos you ever seen play that position. He's a great rebounder, a great defender, and he never backed down for nobody.
Now, it's funny. What team did you hate more, the Pacers or the Bulls, during those days?
I really hated everybody that didn't have a Knicks uniform. It didn't matter whether it was the Pacers, Bulls, Clippers. It didn't matter. If you didn't have a Knicks uniform, I hated you.
What was it like playing? Because I was thinking, I was talking to Spike Lee. He was on my show, and he was reminiscing about going to the old Indiana Arena. Talk about that place is just crazy. He actually said, and I quote this man. He said on my show that it was like a Klan rally in there. What was it like playing at the old Pacers Arena?
You know, it's funny that y'all did a 30-30 and all that, and made it look like Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks rivalry was that intense. I mean, granted, it was very intense and the game was close. But for the majority, we dusted the Indiana Pacers. You talk about one victory where Reggie Jackson hit them points. I mean, Reggie Wade or whatever. Reggie Miller hit them points in 18 seconds, and all of a sudden, it's a long-time rivalry. We beat Indiana Pacers almost every season. The one season, it was a great victory. He's a great player, tenacious, didn't back down from nobody, and you give him credit. But I didn't care about the Indiana Fieldhouse. I didn't care about the new arena. We were going to dust them off either way.
That's funny. You mentioned Michael Jordan. Before I let you go, talking about LeBron James and new players, what are your thoughts on LeBron James? Can he become better than Michael Jordan? Does he need those championships?
It's funny that y'all keep mentioning LeBron James as being Jordan or better than Jordan. Jordan has six championships. How do y'all skip over Kobe? Kobe is the closest thing to Mike. Kobe has five championships, scored 85, Michael's high with 60-something. I mean, stop going to LeBron. LeBron got to win the championship before you even put him in the same class as Kobe or Michael Jordan. So I don't know why y'all keep skipping ahead. I know that's the person that's carrying the lead right now. But let's keep it real. You judge by your championship. He goes to Miami with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. He can win 10 championships. He's still not going to get the same credit that Michael got or Kobe got because he went with two superstars.
I definitely agree with you. Now, you mentioned Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. I mean, if Kobe gets one more championship, or even if he doesn't, can you put Kobe right next to Michael Jordan?
You know what? If Kobe never gets another championship, realistically, you can put Kobe next to Michael Jordan. Anybody that's a Michael Jordan fan is going to disagree with me. But anybody that's a real basketball fan is going to agree with me because that man has done countless times. He's played longer. He's played without stars. And he's got the job done. So I mean, anybody that's realistic is gonna put him right next to him, whether he wins another one or not. I mean, just because he wins seven doesn't make him better, but it's just that he wins championships.
No, I agree with you. I think Kobe offensively has a better technique, and I think his range is a lot better than Mike's was.
Yeah, but you say offensively, like defensively, it was a difference. Like it was a difference. Neither one of them are great defensive players. They're great hard defensive players. I don't care that they were voted first team defensive players. Neither one of them stopped nobody by themselves. They were great health defenders, so offensively they are awesome. Defensively, there's a lot to be desired.
What's your predictions for the league this year? Who do you got winning the championship? Who do you got winning the MVP? Before I let you go, as far as this season, who's your prediction to win the championship? Who's your prediction to win the MVP?
You know what? I really don't have a prediction because with a half season or two-thirds of the season, there's going to be a lot of – just like football, it's a lot of people winning games that shouldn't win it. There's going to be a lot of people getting hurt because of not having no training camp. So it's really hard to judge, but it's going to be a competitive season.
Definitely will, man. Listen, man, I appreciate you coming on, man. You've been one of my idols growing up. It's a pleasure to have you. Hope to have you again, man, and enjoy Dallas BBQ the rest of the night.
All right, well, you got my number. Call me anytime if you want to hear from Truth.
Oh,
Nate.
How about
14. Yeah.
How about next time you come on, go where it's a little quieter, and we'll take calls. We'll have the fans call you up.
You don't want me to be quiet because I'm going to tell a whole lot of truth.
No, I'm talking about we're quiet behind you. And we'll have
you don't
fans.
Want me to be in a quieter situation because I'm going to tell a whole lot of truth.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. And we'll have fans call up and talk to you next time, all right?
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, Mace, you got it, Mace. Take care. That was former New York Knick Anthony Mason right here on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. One thing about Mace, always got something to say. So if you just tuned in now and you'd like to hear that interview, go to the KnicksBlog.com to hear the interview with Anthony Mason. Well, let's get back to the calls. Let's reopen the phone line, 646-478-5554. Once again, that is 646-478-5554. And let's go to T from the Bronx. T, you're on the air, theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Tony Tone, what's good, baby?
What's up, T? How are you?
Oh, man, feeling good. You know, life is good. It's good to hear Anthony Mason. It's really good to hear Anthony Mason. He's one of my idols growing up, too. I mean, he just brought that tough energy to Knicks that they lack now. I wish he was, like, at least 10 years younger so we could have him right now. I mean, he'll do some damage.
Yeah,
it'll definitely do some damage.
But also, to be fair, and you're right, and I agree with you, the league has changed a lot over the years also.
Oh, yeah, the league has gotten soft. Oh, man, come on. They don't make guys like Charles Oakley. They don't make guys like Anthony Mason anymore. Even Charles Barkley. They don't make guys like that. You know, it's more of a finesse type of league right now.
No,
you know, you don't have the body that's banging every day, and that, you know, every game. They don't have that anymore. You know,
they definitely don't. They haven't in about 10 years.
Yeah, and you know, and even if you touch somebody, there's no fights going on. That's one thing I missed about, man, you coming into the guard, man, you wouldn't want to fight the Knicks.
Hell no.
Not at all. You definitely want to fight the Knicks. Knicks were known for getting in the fight. I remember that big fight they had out in Phoenix. Remember that fight with Greg Anthony?
Yeah.
He was in his suit. He was in street clothes. He was in street clothes, and he beat the crap. He went on the court and beat the crap out of Kevin Johnson. You know, those are the Knicks. I mean, I miss those Knicks, man. I mean, everybody... You know, I used to tell Benji, you know, Benji go crazy. I said, Benji, if you go crazy about these Knicks these past couple of seasons and you catch heart attacks, I'm like, just imagine when the Knicks were the Knicks. You would have died, man, because, you know, they used to have you so much on the edge. It was just beyond insanity. You know, I mean, there's one thing about that Knicks team. I mean, they played with a lot of heart. They played with a lot of grit, and they played with a lot of, especially with soul, man. I mean, they left it all out on the court. It's sad that, you know, that they never won a championship, you know. But it's definitely good to, you know, to hear Mason. What is his son doing? His son is in the league, right? Did his son get drafted?
Sorry, T. Anthony's calling right back in. He got disconnected for a second.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, hold on.
What happened?
I think Mason's son, by the way, is the on the Heat.
You said what?
I think he...
What did you say?
I think his son is on the Heat.
Oh, okay. But what happened with the disconnection?
We're trying to get him back on.
Is he still talking or no?
He hears what you're saying because I'm talking to him right now. T.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just call in the number in.
Okay.
Call back?
No. T, stay on. We'll be right back.
And I'm back on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I apologize about that. Still getting some studio issues worked out with some new stuff we've been doing, so please forgive me. So if you were on the line, call back, 646-478-5554. And if you were about to call, still call in at 646-478-5554. And I think I still have T with me. T, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here, eh?
What's going on, T? If you kept talking, I apologize. You know, it's working. I told my fans, you know, first few shows back, you're trying to work out a few kinks. So I'm back. What's going on, T?
You know, that's that new age technology you're working. That's that new studio you're in, you know. So, you know, you got to get used to it. That's all.
Exactly.
You know, love is love. You know, I texted you earlier. Well, actually, I texted you and Benji at the same time about.
You
don't
said texted or tweeted?
Texted.
Okay.
And don't be too surprised on Christmas Day. Your new starting center will be Dwight Howard.
On opening day?
Yeah. Don't be too surprised.
No way.
A lot of stuff is happening. Listen, and it's going to be a lot of... Listen, you're going to be surprised. You hear all the talk that's happening right now, even with Rondo, with even Rajon Rondo's.
Yeah, how about that? I woke up this morning to Twitter saying that Rondo is going to be a Knick. I'm like, what the hell?
No, not a way. Rondo's going to be a Knick. No.
Yeah,
that.
I think it was just some silly Twitter rumor.
Yeah, that will never happen. But I'm just telling you, all this stuff that's going on right now, I'm telling you, something's going to happen. You know, something's going to happen. I mean, they really can't, you know, make any trades until December 9th anyway, and, you know, with the whole free agency going on. But I guarantee you, man, I mean, you got the Nets offering Brook Lopez and 2 first-round draft picks, and you mean to tell me the Knicks can't throw in Amari Stoudemire and maybe another first-round draft pick? Come on, man, don't be too surprised. When Christmas Day comes, Dwight Howard is the new center of the New York Knicks.
Unless Dwight pulls a Carmelo and goes to their management and says, I'm leaving, which I don't know if he's done yet, and that's something we'll ask Alex Kennedy when he comes on the show in about 20 minutes, but I just, I don't see, I'm not saying Dwight won't leave, but I just don't see it.
I mean, from what I heard, his destination is either the Lakers or the Knicks. That's what I mean. I mean, that's what I, from what I've read. Either the Knicks or the Lakers, and you know why not play in the, you know, the biggest stage in the world? Why not want to play next to Carmelo Anthony? And even if they do get Dwight Howard, I heard they still have enough cap room to get
So you're saying Dwight Howard for Amari?
I'll do that straight up, and maybe you could throw in a Montreal.
Yeah, but will Orlando do that?
Why not? If they're gonna take, I mean, if the Nets are offering Brook Lopez and 2 first round draft picks, what? I mean, even though that's a bad deal, why not get Amari? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's a fair trade right there. Amari for Stoudemire? I mean, Amari for Dwight Howard? That's a fair trade right there. Maybe we might have to throw in like one more player and some cash.
Yeah, I don't know if Orlando would do that straight up, though. Amari's a superstar, but listen, Amari's knees are suspect. They are.
Amari's knees is not. I mean, come on. I mean, he's played. He's been playing for the past couple of seasons. I mean, he only missed like that one season. It wasn't like this guy missed a lot, missed like two seasons. But, he had that Michael Fracture surgery, and he was the only player that like fully recovered from it and played really well. I mean, the only other injury that he had was when he had eye surgery.
Amari probably, hopefully for the rest of his career, will be healthy. I'm just saying teams are aware of his suspect knees.
Yeah, but you think Orlando's gonna take Brook Lopez? Come on,
no.
Brook Lopez does not even have to play a. Come on, I mean, come on. If they're gonna take Brook Lopez doesn't even have to play Amari Stoudemire. Come on, man. Look what Amari did for New York. He could do the same thing for Orlando.
Yeah, he could. Listen, I just don't. I'm not saying it won't happen, but I don't think it's gonna happen before opening day.
Man, don't be surprised, man. Don't be too surprised, man. A lot of stuff is gonna happen. It's going to happen opening day. I mean, you hear all these rumblings that's going on right now? Come on, something's going to happen, man. There's a reason why all this stuff is going on.
Well,
and
also,
I truly
one reason you're hearing a lot of rumblings also is because everything's going to happen so fast in the free agency and the trades before the season starts.
Yeah, and another thing is, this kind of benefits, the teams like the Knicks and benefits these teams that want to make these trades is that the shortened season helps that. Because they don't know if these players are going to come back next year. So why not get them? Why not get them for something? Why not get them for some players? They might as well just pull the trigger. And from what I heard, like the NBA, they being that they own the Hornets, they might not pull off that trade. They might not pull off that trade when CP3 comes to New York. So I think our best bet is CP3 comes here, he's going to have to wait to the season end, but he doesn't want to go to Boston, and I can't see him, signing that extension to play with the Boston Celtics. Come on, Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, they like 45 years old. You understand why would you want to play with a team that's, with players that's on the way out? You understand what I'm saying? I can't see him going to Boston.
Yeah, no, either. Yeah, listen, it's going to be very interesting, that's for sure.
I mean, definitely, it's going to be very interesting, But great talking with you, Tony, man. I'll be listening.
As always, T, thanks for checking in, man.
No doubt. Love is love.
Absolutely. T's always got some crazy points right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. 646-478-5554 is the number, TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Former Knick Anthony Mason joined me live from BBQ's for about 20 minutes before. It was nice talking to Mason. He got a little bit more of a quieter spot, so that was good. So let's get back to the phone, 646-478-5554, and let's go to Anthony from Queens. Anthony, you're on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Anthony.
Now, I was just looking at the news of Google and NBA. I'm excited to have it back or whatever. I just seen that Swirl. They reported that Tyson Chandler's saying that he expects to leave Denver. He's going to sign somewhere else. I would love to add him to the Knicks. What do you think?
Tyson Chandler or Wilson Chandler?
Tyson Chandler.
Well, he's with the Mavericks.
No, he's an unrestricted free agent. And
with the Mavericks.
ESPN. ESPN.
With the Mavericks, though.
Tyson Chandler, the center. Yeah.
Is with the Mavericks.
No, he's an unrestricted free agent.
Right, but he played for the Mavericks.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay, you said Chandler. Denver. That's what I was like. I thought you were talking about Wilson Chandler.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Denver? I'm sorry. Yeah, Dallas. Yeah, he's ESPN's reporting that he said he's going to sign with a different team.
He might. I mean, if you're Dallas, you wouldn't want to let him go. But he might.
Yeah, and I'm hearing it says New Jersey is the front runner or something like that. New Jersey wants him. So what do you think about that? I mean, I would like to have him on the Knicks. What do you think?
I think a lot of teams would want Tyson Chandler. He's a guy that doesn't need the ball to be effective. He's a great defender, great team, and I think a lot of guys would want Tyson Chandler. I think plenty of teams would want Tyson Chandler. Who wouldn't?
Definitely, definitely. And I know you had Landry on the show like 2 times last time. That's one.
What's that?
Landry Fields?
Yeah, what about Landry?
I said, I know you had him on the show like 2 times last season. That's one of the players that I've been following the players. I haven't seen anything or heard anything about him, whether he's working out, improving his
game. Yeah, but it doesn't mean he's not working out. Just because he's not broadcasting that he's – maybe he's not working out, but I would think he is.
I know.
Just because a guy isn't broadcasting on Twitter that he's in the gym or he's throwing up dunks doesn't mean he's not busting his hump.
I understand. I'm asking you because I know that you spoke to him. Have you spoken?
No, I mean, I've spoke to Landry a few times this summer. Nothing crazy. And I did not ask him if he was playing basketball. But, listen, I'd be shocked if Landry Fields came into camp, you know, with a gut and he's out of shape. I mean, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, because, I mean, I feel like he had a lot of promise. I think he hit a rookie wall last year. I think
he hit a rookie wall, and after the trade, it was just a lot different.
Yeah, he had to adjust his style of play. He didn't learn. He didn't touch the ball every possession. He didn't learn how to hit open shots. So, I mean, hopefully he adjusts because I think he's a good New York Knicks.
Exactly. With Melo and Amari, you're not going to get the ball every possession, but when you get the ball off a kick out, hit that open shot.
Yeah, and oh, I'm sorry, one more thing. Who's
yeah, sure.
also reporting that the Knicks are interested in Grant Hill? I mean, listen,
I think a lot of teams are interested in a lot of players right now. It's kind of, you know what I mean? It's kind of funny. I think a lot of teams are interested in a lot of players. So
yeah,
I think, yeah, the Knicks have contacted, reportedly
the
Knicks have contacted Grant Hill's agent. I think Grant Hill would be a nice fit.
Yeah. All right, cool.
All right, and thanks for the call. Thanks for checking in, man. Really appreciate it.
No doubt. You too.
Well, take care. 646-478-5554. Going to take a 2-minute break right here on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. We'll be right back.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm
back where I belong, yeah. I never felt so strong, and
I'm back,
baby. I'm feeling like there's nothing I can't try.
Nothing.
And if you with me, put
your
hands high.
Put your hands high. Haven't lost a life before. Just
want to
see
you with me, put your hands high.
You bring to rock the best in you. I'm
on the mark. I hear the tears of a clown. I hate that song. I always feel like they're talking to me when it comes on.
Come on.
Another day, another dawn. Another Keisha, nice to meet you, get the map, I'm gone.
Go.
What am I supposed to do in a club life? Come on, it's easy to be pump, but it's harder to be Sean. What if my twins ask why I ain't married a mom?
Why?
Damn, how do I respond? What if my son stares with a face like my own and says he wants to be like me when he's grown? Shit, but I ain't finished grown. Another night, the inevitable prolong. Another day, another dawn.
Come on.
Tell Keisha and Teresa I'll be better in the
mold.
Another lot that I carry on. I need to get back to the place I
I'm
belong.
Coming home. I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
Yeah.
Let the rain wash away all the pain.
not a home. I hate this song. Is a house really a home when your loved ones is gone? And niggas got the nerve to blame you for it. And you know you would've took the bullet if you saw it. But you felt it and still feel it. And money can't make up for it or conceal it.
Okay, we'll be right back on. We had another technical difficulty. Sorry, I'm like talking to you. We'll be right back on. We had a little bit more technical difficulties. We'll have Anthony right on in one moment.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yo, what, should I call from the house?
You're on air.
I'm on air.
I believe so.
All right, I'm on the air. This is awesome for the sex show back, but hey, stuff happens. What can you do? So 646-478-5554 is the number, the Knicks blog. .com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's get back to the calls and let's go to Jason from Rochester. Jerron from Rochester, you're on the air at the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hello, how you doing, Tony?
What's up, Jerron? How are you?
Hey, it's John.
Jaron, oh, my bad. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. I just want to know where you stand as far as I don't want to be repetitive on your show. I heard a couple callers ago they were talking about stat for Dwight Howard. I realize that's not realistic straight up, but he's got to be as interesting as anybody, right?
I mean, of course Dwight Howard is interesting. I mean, he's Dwight Howard.
No, I mean Stat is an attractive an option for Orlando as anybody else. I mean, not straight up.
Because he's from there?
Bynum's got bum wheels, and Brook Lopez is just a bum.
Right, no, I mean, it's intriguing, but I just don't see Dwight Howard coming to the Knicks. Do you?
Yeah, that's the question I had. I mean, the question to me is not whether or not Stat would be the best option for Orlando, but does Dwight want to extend in a cold weather city? You know, which seems to be the issue right now. How do you feel about that?
Jared,
you there? Jared, you're on.
All right, how you doing, Tony?
No, I'm good.
I'm here. All righty. Okay, so you want me to start from the top?
Hold up one second.
Yep.
Jared,
Jared,
I'm
back. I'm sorry about this. We've been doing a lot of new stuff to the studio, so please forgive me.
Not a problem, brother.
All right, so let's start this phone call all over.
Okay, what I was basically saying, I know a couple of callers ago, they were talking about stat for Dwight Howard. And while I realize that's not realistic straight up, I'm saying stat has got to be an attractive an option as anybody else in the league as far as a trade piece for Orlando. I mean, you're talking Bynum, had Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, stat's a real good player. He's from the area, of course.
Yeah, and, I mean, Brook Lopez is a bum. You know, even if you add a couple picks, I mean, Landry Fields is as good as a number one pick, an unknown number one pick. You know what I mean? So I think we could put together as attractive an option as anybody else for Dwight Howard. And Dwight Howard over Stat for us, I mean, Dwight Howard plays D and Stat don't. And we're looking to win titles. I mean, that's the way to do it. In my opinion, the question is, you know, we got off the line.
Listen, man, it's just crazy how – it's just like, you know, Amari Stoudemire did so much for the Knicks. And listen, at the end of the day, when you're a GM of a team, you have to be a GM. And if that means trading a popular player to make your team better, then so be it. But it's just so crazy how Amari brought so much to the team last year, and all of a sudden it's like we're talking about trading him already. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the last thing we need is another shakeup, Tony. But you know, Stat did come through. He breathed breath in New York like no one else did in a long time. And,
the fans definitely appreciate
that. But he's, you know, it was Melo's team as soon as Melo showed up, and everybody knows that.
Offensively it was. It absolutely was.
And defensively, I mean, what does Stat really bring to us? Not much. You know what I mean? And that's the tide we're trying to turn with, you know, the hiring of Woody and everything. You know what I'm saying? I think we're trying to go in a new direction, and that's winning. And, I mean, Stat, I think we can win with Stat if we bring in CP3, but that we're talking a year away. You know what I mean? I think if Dwight Howard would extend in New York, I think we should make every effort to get him. I don't know if he would do that, though.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure either, man. It's going to be interesting when December 9th is. It's going to be a crazy scramble, man. And before I even let you go, I just can't believe I've gotten two callers from Rochester in the first hour of the show tonight.
Oh, really? They might have both been me.
No. First one was Paul. Paul's the guy who's called it before.
It's John from Rochester, man. I'm a diehard fan. I'm a fan of your show.
I used to be up in Rochester a lot. Where in Rochester do you live?
Oh, I was actually born off of Lyle Avenue on McNaught Street.
Wait, whoa, Lyle Avenue? That sounds really familiar.
Off of Lyle Avenue. It's a main drag off of State Street.
Is that in the town of Gates?
It's not far from Gates. It's about probably five or 10 minute drive from Gates.
Oh, okay, because I used to my ex-GF is from Rochester, so I was always up there. So I know the area decent.
Oh, really?
Ryan Callahan from the Rangers is from Rochester also.
Oh, really?
Yeah, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it.
All right, Tony, keep holding down, man. Later.
All right, take care. 646-478-5554. In about 2 minutes, we'll be joined by Alex Kennedy from Hoops World. Let's take one more call before Alex comes on. And, wow, this guy's on the line. Oh, man, I knew he'd call back eventually. I don't think he's very active in social media, but he's a TKB radio legend. Sometimes I kick him off the show because he says some real dumb stuff. Please welcome Deron from South Carolina. Deron, man, how you been?
What's going on, eh?
I'm good, man.
I haven't talked to you in a while, man. Yeah. I'm back.
Good to know, man.
What kind of deals you hearing out there? Any trades?
You always about deals, Deron.
Yeah, well, I heard that last call of someone, you know, about Amari Stoudemire, man, for Dwight Howard, man. I don't know about that.
I don't see that happening.
I don't see it happening. That's a tough pill to swallow, man. I mean, it's good either way, but I wouldn't want to give up Stoudemire. I wouldn't want to give up Stoudemire, though. God.
Yeah, and who does? And he did so much for the Knicks last year.
Yeah, he did a lot, man. I mean, but, you know, for somebody like Dwight Howard, it's kind of like one of them trades that we just have to be like, wow.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. And when, you know, when Alex Kennedy comes on the line, he's got a big pulse on the Dwight Howard situation. We'll talk tomorrow, Alex, about that. But I don't see, and listen, I could be wrong, I don't see a Dwight Howard for Amari Stoudemire swap. I just don't see it.
Nah. You know what? I wouldn't do it. I would bring in a defensive center. I'll bring in me a big man, you know, somebody that can play, you know, defense and grab rebounds, and I will keep Stoudemire. And I'm going to tell you something, though. I'm going to tell you another thing. I hear a lot of people talking about it.
If Orlando calls and says, we'll give you Dwight for Amari, it's something you explore. I just don't see it happening. But, hey,
I would have to sleep on it. I would have to sleep on that one, though.
Right.
But now, I hear a lot of callers talking about that, you know, CP3 thing. Let me ask you a question.
I think you're going to hear a lot of callers throughout the whole year talking about that CP3 thing, Duran.
But you know what? Okay, let me ask you a question on this one. How much would CP3 get? You figure he'd get by, what, $14 million a year?
Yeah, he would get whatever the Knicks can get him, they will give him every penny. Mark my words on that.
Okay. Okay, if we get CP3, our salary cap is going to be pretty high. So it's going to be pretty much a three-man show.
Right now.
It's going to be pretty much a three-man show, kind of like what Miami did last year. You think so?
Yeah, it would be tough to get other players after.
Okay, now I'm going to throw this one out there. Let's say we save about $7 million and we bring in a point guard like Raymond Felton. Bring them back.
Oh, I knew. You know, I was thinking that.
Yes.
I said to one of my friends on the phone, you know, if the Knicks don't land Chris Paul, they don't get Darren Williams, why not bring Ray back? Ray loved it here, and Ray played well in here, too.
And guess what? The way Ray played, CP3 did not play as much better than Raymond. Raymond looked real good in New York. When he was here,
he was showing off.
He
was obviously messed up by the trade rumors, but he played really well.
Yeah, and then not only that, we'll save about $7 million in cap. So we'll be able to sign other players.
And I thank you for the call, as always. I know I'm going to be hearing you from you throughout the season. Listen,
okay.
As great as it would be to bring Ray back, I think if you have a chance to get Chris Paul over Raymond Felton, nothing against Ray, you'll probably do that. But, Duran, as always, thanks for checking, and I'm sure I'll hear from you on the next show.
Thanks, man. I'll let you in.
Take care, Duran. 646-478-5554. We'll get back to the calls in a little bit. And right now we're finally going smooth on the second show back of the season. So let's go down to Florida right now. He's one of the rising stars in media. He writes for HoopsWorld.com. Please welcome to the show, Alex Kennedy. Alex, what's going on, brother?
Not much. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. It's my second show back this season. I'm a little stressed, so I'm just venting to you right now. We had a few technical difficulties halfway through the show, but we're vibing now. I mean, Anthony Mason came on. He was live. He was at a Dallas barbecue. I mean, he was, like, partying while he was on the show. It doesn't surprise me about Mace. Then we had some studio issues, but we are back and rolling now, and that's what life's about.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm not at a barbecue right now, so I'm not as cool as Anthony Mason, but
wait, you're at a barbecue?
Well. I'm not at a barbecue. I'm not as cool as him, but hopefully we can talk to the NBA. I'm definitely in a better mood these days than the last couple of weeks talking free agency and trade rumors other than basketball-related income and system restrictions. That got old pretty quick.
Oh, it definitely did. And Alex, real quick, before we get into the basketball issues, tell me about, now, there's a good chance you were sleeping. I actually wasn't. Tell me about where you were and what you were doing. Now, if it's X-rated, please keep it, you know, to yourself. But tell me about what you were doing at 3 in the morning on Saturday.
I was actually sitting in front of my laptop, kind of watching as everything went down.
You were up,
Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, I was up. I had heard throughout the day that that Mo Evans and Derek Fisher had been told that they wouldn't have been brought out there and brought away from their families the day after Thanksgiving if the NBA wasn't ready to make some concessions and if the talks weren't going to get serious. So I knew maybe there was something up. I'd actually tweeted that out earlier in the day. So I was curious to see where things went, if they were going to continue meeting throughout the weekend. I didn't expect them to announce a deal that late. I mean, I think the NBA is known for being pretty image conscious, so I thought maybe they'd wait until the next day and make a bigger deal out of it. I was surprised they went at 3:30 in the morning when everyone was dressed in sweatshirts in a meeting room. But, you know, I was happy. It was interesting, and I got a lot of phone calls after that, so it was a lot of fun. Like I said, definitely better to be talking about free agency and the upcoming season now rather than all that stuff.
No, absolutely, and I was actually up in front of my computer as well. And there was, you know, Alex, I'm not sure how much you follow my craziness. But one thing about me, I have a crazy memory from a sense that I can remember a game that, you know, Allen Houston had in January of 1998 versus the Sonics on a Sunday night, which I actually just thought of that game. But anyway, I never forget a tweet that you had, and it's something that I had thought about, but you really put it out there back in May or June. And you said that maybe that one thing about this year's lockout that's most likely going to happen is you're really going to see the fans' love for the game via social media. I'm not sure if you remember that exact tweet, but I do.
Yeah, on social media?
We saw that throughout the lockout.
Yeah, we did. I mean, and if you look at Twitter, I mean, throughout the whole process, fans were involved and they were following the talks. And you know, there's been some talk of whether or not fans and people on Twitter may put pressure on the talks. And I mean, there's definitely an aspect where every single day these owners and the players involved, everyone involved was really being criticized if they didn't make a move. And fans were really excited they did make a move. So there's definitely, I mean, we definitely saw that. I mean, Twitter really changed a lot of things from the draft to the trade deadline to now these lockout talks. I mean, people go online, and it's like the virtual sports bar, really. So it's been really interesting, and it does change things. So you're right. I mean, I don't exactly remember that. Your memory is a lot better than mine. I'm jealous. but yeah, I mean, it's definitely a game changer, and it definitely I think it did put pressure on people throughout the whole process.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the memories. Sometimes players, like, you know, Allen or John Starks will be like, "Yo, Ant, what?" They'll ask me about games that they've played, and it's funny, but like I said, I have a skill that's not normal. Jamal Crawford actually has the same thing. He can tell you about certain games from certain days. It's actually really funny. But one more thing in the lockout before we get to actual basketball. Do you think there's going to be a lot of backlash, issues at the attendance gates this season, or do you think the league will be fine?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, I'm more worried about the on-court product in terms of guys getting injured or guys being out of shape and it being ugly. I mean, we saw that early in the NFL season where the play was a little bit more sloppy and there were some turnovers and some guys getting injured. So, I mean, in terms of attendance, I think that just judging by readership and the amount of interest on Twitter and things like that, I mean, people are still interested. And the fact that it's back now and all the rumors that are circulating now, all the big names that are kind of being floated out there, and, I mean, and the fact that they're coming back versus Day Strong with five games, people seem to be excited. I mean, throughout the whole process, there were a lot of people threatening that they would never watch basketball again. And, I mean, I heard that constantly, that the NBA doesn't care about the fans and they were never going to watch a game again. But, I mean, I think now that it's back, I can't see it hurting too much. I mean, maybe a little bit. And I'm curious to see if the league does anything, maybe making league pass cheaper or offering cheaper tickets, something like that. I mean, I could see them stepping up and trying to kind of mend things with the fans. But, you know, like I said, I'm more worried about the on-court product. I'm not sure there's going to be a real difference in terms of attendance. I'm really worried to see if the product is affected in a negative way.
Talking to Alex Kennedy from Hoops World right here on the KnicksBlog.com and Knicks Blog Radio. Alex, I know we're both young guys, but I'm a little bit older than you. I remember I was 15 during the last lockout, and I think there was a lot of backlash. There wasn't the social media standpoint because I think the players did a lot of dumb things. And one guy, I remember the day the lockout ended. I don't know if you remember this. How old were you in 99?
In 99, I was 10 years old.
So you might remember this, because even though players have more outlets to talk now, I think one thing we've noticed during the lockout that not all the players really said anything dumb. During the last lockout, if you look up some quotes, and I remember them when they happened being in 10th grade, some players said some dumb things. And I remember whether it was, I don't want to call him out, because I like, he's become a friend of mine, Kenny Anderson. I remember the day the lockout ended, I think he actually had two like quotes. It was like, you know, "I'm going to sell one of my 10 cars." Or like, the day the lockout ends, he's on camera, and a kid says, "Can I get your autograph?" He's like, "Yo, get out of here." So it wasn't just him. There was a lot of people, I think, players that had some dumb quotes. So I think there was some backlash. I remember the lockout ended last time. It was like January 5th, 1999, and they had the Mariah Carey "I Still Believe" song with "I Still Love This Game." I don't think you're going to have that this time. I agree with you. I don't think there's going to be much backlash, but I think there was back then.
Yeah, and I think they learned from those mistakes. I mean, like you said, there was a lot of players coming out and saying some dumb things that time around. I think the one quote that everyone kind of remembers is, "We make a lot of money, but we spend a lot of money too." Things like that.
Yep,
I mean, you just don't say that. It's very hard to get the fans on.
I think my favorite player of all time, Patrick Ewing, was the one that said that, right?
It was Patrick Ewing, yep. And I mean, it's real hard to get fans on your side and really continue to support you when you say things like that. So I mean, there's no question they learned from those mistakes and they kind of adjusted how they were going to do things. And like you said, I'm surprised there weren't more comments like that, just because with guys having access to Twitter, I mean, that's something that wasn't the case before. I mean, a guy can pick up his cell phone and in 5 seconds tweet something that he regrets instantly. But, you know, that didn't happen. So I think guys were really coached up by some of the union officials and some of the other player representatives and leaders. They were told not to say anything. And if you say anything, keep it to how you love basketball and how you just want to get back on the court. So, you know, they did a good job coaching the guys up and making sure no one said anything dumb. But you're right. I think the fact that the guys, they didn't handle it the wrong way, that's definitely going to help. And that's going to kind of lead to less backlash rather than last time. Well, like you said, I think the quotes people, I mean, some of the quotes fired people up, and they were even more angry about that than the lockout. So there's definitely a sense that they learned from those mistakes.
Alex, is there this year's lockout Sean Kemp? And do you remember when the lockout ended last time? It ended with Sean. I mean, Sean Kemp was still young, came in the camp with the Cleveland Cavaliers about 95 pounds out of shape. I mean, is there going to be, if you don't want to call the person out, I don't know if you know or not, have you heard of a Sean Kemp this year?
You know, I haven't seen him in person, so I don't want to criticize him too much. But, I mean, the rumor I've been hearing is that Samuel Dalembert has put on a little bit of weight, but I haven't seen him in person, so I wouldn't know. That's just something that I've heard from a few players. But I guess we'll really know the next few weeks once training camp start and media days and when we can actually see these guys. But that's a little rumor I've heard for now. But like I said, I mean, I haven't seen him in person, so.
But
I
he's not even. Let's just say Samuel Dalembert came into camp out of shape. That's not big enough where that would create a story. But when Sean
exactly.
Kemp came into camp 50 pounds out of shape, you're like, wow, this was a guy who was dunking on people reverse from the foul line. I mean, that just blew people away.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure there's going to be another Sean Kemp. I mean, like I said, I think a lot of guys have really been coached up and told you can't just sit down and play Call of Duty throughout the whole lockout. You can't just sit down eating fast food every day. I mean, guys have been working out, and for the most part, I mean, most of their agents have been sending these guys to training sites in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Chicago, Houston. I mean, there's training sites all over the country now where guys have been working out. So, I mean, I'm not sure there's going to be anyone who gained as much weight as Sean did last time. And let's hope not, I mean, because that's really that's a career killer right there. But there may be a couple guys who put on a few pounds, and it'll be noticeable when the season does start back up.
Absolutely. Talking to Alex Kennedy right here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. For some reason, every call I took tonight so far has asked me about Dwight Howard for Amari Stoudemire. Few-part question, and I'll give you all the time you want to answer it all before we get to the Chris Paul stuff, even Darren Williams stuff. Dwight Howard, just break everything down that you know right now. What's going on with Dwight? Does he leave? Does he stay? If he does want to go, where are his possible destinations? And is Orlando exploring trades for Dwight Howard? It's like four questions, but just go ahead.
You know, one thing I found interesting today was that Otis Smith talked to Orlando Sentinel, and he said that basically we're going to weigh all of our options. If it becomes necessary, we will trade Dwight Howard. He basically said that. So, and that's something he hasn't said before. I mean, in the past, it's always been we're not going to trade Dwight Howard. And there was a real sense that they would make him walk and be the villain if he goes somewhere else, that they wouldn't even entertain offers or trade him. I mean, at the time, I mean, it sounded like that was all talk. But the fact that he's come out and actually said now that if trading him is necessary, that's what we'll do. I mean, that's interesting to me because that says that maybe things change with Dwight and they know that his time in Orlando is running out. So there could be a trade. I mean, that's really – I mean, they have to sit down and talk to Dwight over the next few weeks, over the next few months even, and see where his head's at and where things stand with him because they obviously want to keep Dwight Howard. I mean, that's pretty obvious. They want to keep him there. They want to surround him with talent. And, I mean, right now they're still looking at options to try to bring more talent around him, whether it's a Josh Smith trade, Andre Iguodala trade. I mean, they definitely want to bring pieces around Dwight to keep him happy and try to re-sign him there. That's definitely their goal. But, you know, if they can't work that out or Dwight's still not happy, then it wouldn't surprise me to see him traded at the trade deadline. But, you know, I don't think there's any rush to do that right away. I think they want to keep him for as long as they can and maybe hope his mind changes or they can acquire someone. They definitely want to keep him. In terms of Dwight's situation and where he's at, you know, it's interesting because Dwight Dwight's motivation for leaving and Dwight's status is a little bit different than everyone else's. I mean, Carmelo Anthony wanted to go back home to New York. He wanted to play with his buddy Mars Stoudemire and potentially with a guy like Chris Paul, who he's also really close with. When you look at Dwight Howard's situation, I mean, he doesn't really have any ties to New Jersey or L.A. It's not like he's particularly good friends with Deron Williams or Kobe Bryant. I mean, if you look at Dwight Howard, he's always kind of been the superstar that doesn't really hang out with the LeBron James, the Chris Paul, the Carmelo Anthony.
I was just thinking that. You know, you rarely see Dwight in those crews. You'll see CP and Melo and LeBron, even Amari. You rarely, even like you'll see Amari and LeBron tweeting back and forth to each other, you rarely see Dwight in that stuff.
And look at the charity games this summer. He didn't play in a single charity game outside of his own, and that's when he had all Orlando Magic players, former and present. So, I mean, he's never really been in that circle, which is why this situation is kind of different. It's not like he's going back home to Atlanta. It's not like he's going to team up with one of his best friends. I mean, his best friends around the league are guys like Josh Smith and Anthony Morrow, who he grew up with in Atlanta. So that's why the situation's kind of different. I mean, his reason for leaving Orlando would be he wants to win a championship. And he thinks he can do that maybe in another place, like in New Jersey or like in L.A. over Orlando. And, I mean, I think that's really his motivation at this point. I know he's not particularly close with Deron Williams. I mean, he knows he's a great player on the court and he could probably make him better. But, I mean, it's not like he's going to team up with these guys and they've been talking about this for years and they're best friends. I mean, even when Dwight was part of the Olympics a few years ago with all of these guys, I mean, his closest friend on that team was Carlos Boozer. So, I mean, that's why the situation is kind of intriguing. It's not like the Chris Paul situation where it's obvious his number one destination is New York and he's friends with these guys and they're hanging out as we speak. It's a little bit different. So I'm not sure Dwight knows exactly what he wants to do right now. It's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. And I mean, he could force his way to a situation like a New Jersey, like a Los Angeles. I mean, if these teams are interested in him, he could basically tell other teams that he'll refuse to sign an extension with them. But, I mean, it seems like he doesn't really have any preference at this point in any particular direction he wants to go in. So that's why it's going to be really interesting to follow this over the next few months. And this situation is kind of different than one we've seen in the past.
So you don't think Dwight necessarily has his mind made up? Where, let's be honest, Melo wanted to be a Knick last year. I know he said maybe. I don't even want to get crazy into it. I don't think Melo ever even wanted to be a Net. He wanted to be a Knick. So you're kind of saying,
I agree.
Tell me if I'm wrong. Oh, so you agree. I agree 100%.
Yeah, I think from the start, Carmelo wanted to be a Knick. I think Chris Paul wants to be a Knick. I mean, these guys wanted to play with their best friends. They wanted to go to New York. And, I mean, Carmelo obviously had ties to New York because he was from there before he moved to Baltimore. So that's what I mean. I mean, they wanted to play with their friends and everything. But when you look at a situation like New Jersey or Brooklyn, I mean, he's not great friends with Deron Williams. He's not from New Jersey. It's interesting because it's more about winning a championship in his mind and where he can go to. I mean, obviously he wants to play in a large market, but I think it's really about where he can go to get a ring. And I mean, at some point with Orlando's trades they've made and their cap situation, it's gotten difficult because it's hard for them to compete now. For them to contend for a championship, I mean, a lot of things would have to happen. Miami would have to take a step back. I mean, they would need help from a lot of teams. So that's why I think Dwight maybe is fed up with having to do everything on his own, and I think it's more about just finding a star player that can help him and team up with him on the court rather than, oh, yeah, this is my guy. I mean, we're friends for years, and we want to team up. It's more about the on-court aspect of things than playing in a larger market or teaming up with a best friend or going back home.
And one more thing, two more things on Dwight. Is there a chance that Orlando, and it felt they kind of did that last year by acquiring Jay Rich and Gilbert, does Orlando look to make a trade to make them better to maybe help their cause to get Dwight to stay? And is there a chance Dwight stays inside the contract with Orlando, or would you say Dwight is definitely gone?
You know, at this point, I think Dwight's gone if you don't make a trade. I mean, Otis Smith knows he has to go out and make a move because I don't think Dwight Howard is staying in Orlando unless they bring new pieces around him. But, I mean, that's easier said than done. If you look at Orlando's trade assets right now, I mean, they have ugly contracts. Even their younger players, I mean, they're not really highly coveted prospects. So they're in a tough position right now. Otis Smith has a hard job to do right now, but they're definitely still calling teams. They're going to be trying to make offers. Like I said, I mean, they know the players that Dwight wants to play with. I mean, he's made that very clear. Deron Williams, Josh Smith, Andre Iguodala, Monte Ellis. I mean, they're guys that he wants to play with, so they'll be working the phones and trying to make that happen. But, I mean, obviously New Jersey's not going to try to go out and offer Deron Williams to the Magic because they want to bring Dwight to New Jersey. And then these other teams, I mean, I'm not sure Orlando could put together the best package for an Iguodala or an Ellis or Josh Smith. I mean, I think other teams could put together a better offer than Orlando could. So, yes, I think if they were able to go out and acquire some more talent, then maybe you'd have a chance of Dwight staying. But, I mean, at this point, that's easier said than done with their situation.
You talked about all these guys wanting to play together now, whether it's, you know, Chris Paul and Melo or Braun and Wade and Bosch. And I'm not sure if you know the exact answer to this because maybe you weren't on the planes or the buses or in the casinos. But, fill me in. How did this start where – well, listen, let's be honest. Basketball, hey, people say basketball didn't always have stars. Look at the Lakers in the 80s. They had Worthy, Magic, and Kareem. Obviously, they didn't team up together. The Celtics had McHale, Parrish, and Bird, but they didn't team up together. So it's different. How did this start? Like, was there an initial conversation? Like, tell me about how did this start where all of a sudden guys want to come? Like, I think players have always wanted to, like Patrick Ewing always wanted a second star in New York. A second star, not number one star, and they kind of got that with Allen and Spree towards the end of Patty's career. How did this start, though, where major, major stars and major egos all of a sudden said, yo, let's play together?
I think the emergence of AAU basketball really was a big factor in that because, I mean, I've been around guys who are on AAU teams and the top high school recruits in the country. I mean, they'll play against another top recruit, and after the game, they're hanging out in the same hotel room, and they're going out and getting something to eat, and I mean, they're playing video games together. I mean, these guys are close friends from a young age because in high school, I mean, if you're a high school kid and you're playing AAU basketball, you're traveling all the time, and really the only other kids your age you're going to be able to relate to are the other top prospects who are kind of in the same boat as you. They're always traveling. You're always seeing them at these different tournaments and showcases. So I think that's really been the big part of it. I mean, back in the day when you had, like you said, Patrick Ewing trying to get a second star. I mean, if he had played AAU basketball with one of these guys and had been friends since they were 13, 14 years old, it may have been a little bit easier for him. So I think the fact that all these guys play AAU basketball from a young age and these guys know each other from the time that they're kids, I think that definitely plays a big role in it. And at the same time, too, I think the fact that when we saw Miami do it, I think there's definitely a sense now that other teams feel like they have to keep up. For a while, maybe Chris Paul, maybe Dwight Howard could say, okay, well, I can still win a championship in Orlando if it's me and I have some pieces around me. But, I mean, once you have one super team form, then the other top players start saying, all right, well, we probably have to join up if we want to compete with that. So I think the start of it all with Miami and these guys, I mean, they were close from a young age. And, I mean, they obviously get to know each other through the Olympics and other events like that. But I think this really all starts from AAU basketball. And then the fact that all these teams are trying to grab multiple players and all these guys want to team up now, I think it's a result of trying to keep up with Miami.
Somebody said this on NBA TV the other day. I'm not sure if it was Schmitty or D. Scott or maybe it was Kerr, one of the guys. Talked about how back in the day you had, you know, whether it was Barkley or Hakeem who eventually got two championships or, you know, Malone and Stockton, it was two of them. Guys were willing to sacrifice losing to win the championship, like, on their back. Where now it's the opposite. Is that hurting the game or are there positives to that as well? I guess it's positive for, like, if you're a Celtics fan when you got, you know, Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett in 07, that was a different situation than the ones now. I mean, is that something that can hurt the game long term?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that was one of the biggest debates during the lockout because, I mean, you have all these small market owners who see these guys flocking to the big markets like New York and L.A. And, I mean, these guys all – I mean, if you ask a role player or a rookie what team they want to eventually play for, most of them will tell you, I mean, if they're being honest – and it's off the record or something like that, most of them will tell you, I like to play for New York. I like to play for L.A. I mean, they know these teams have history. They know it's a big market. They know the perks that come along with playing in one of those cities. So, I mean, that's always going to be an issue because
not to cut you off real quick, Alex. Is that because of Amari and Melo coming to New York? Because for 10 years, no one gave a rat's ass about coming to the Knicks.
Well, no, yeah. I mean,
no one wanted to be here.
Yeah, it's definitely more attractive when they're winning. I'll agree with you there. But, I mean, they know there's a tradition there, and it's a larger market, too, so that definitely helps. But, I mean, that's, like I said, that was the debate during the lockout. I mean, small market owners wanted to find some way where they could keep their players instead of losing them every single year to these bigger markets. So, you know, I mean, if you look at the ratings last year and all the interest that Miami and New York and these super teams kind of generated, I mean, television ratings were at all-time high. I know that our reads and other websites had were breaking records, and we were at an all-time high. So there was more interest in the game because there's way more storylines to follow. But whether or not it's good for the league remains to be seen. And I think, I mean, we still have extended trades in this CBA, but the one thing the owners did push for was that they'd have it would be easier for them to lock down their players. And we saw that with this new provision that allows them to sign a guy to a bigger deal if he is named an MVP or he's named an All-Star twice or he's named to an All-NBA team twice. I mean, doing things like that is going to allow a team like the Los Angeles Clippers to keep Blake Griffin or a team like the Chicago Bulls to keep Derrick Rose. I mean, there's no question that small market owners were upset about how things went down, and they definitely want to be able to keep their players. So, but I mean, in terms of whether or not it's good for the game, bad for the game, I mean, I think that really depends on your perspective.
Let's talk directly about Chris Paul now. He was with LeBron and Wade and obviously Melo yesterday in Brooklyn, which that the gym they were at, which I tweeted about this. I play basketball at that gym. My friend actually works at that gym. I play ball at that gym all the time. So it was actually funny seeing those guys there. But anyway, Chris Paul is in New York City. Obviously, he said his heart is in New Orleans. Once again, I'm going to ask you like three or four questions in one. It seems to me that Chris Paul wants to be a Knick. Is there any chance he stays in New Orleans? Does he have a wish list of, if not the Knicks, are there other teams he'd like to be? Or is he also a little confused as well?
You know, I mean, Chris Paul, in his situation, when you look at New Orleans, I mean, he does love New Orleans, and they've embraced him and his family, and he appreciates that. But it's the same thing. I mean, I think he realizes that he's not going to be able to win a championship there. It's awfully hard to commit to a team and sign a long-term deal when they don't have an owner and their future is up in the air. I mean, he's committing to New Orleans, but, I mean, there's no guarantee that they're going to be in New Orleans for the duration of his contract. I mean, let's be honest. So it's difficult for him to commit there, and I think like you said, I mean, I think he does want to be in New York. There is a reason for him to go there. He's friends with Carmelo and Amari, and I think that's definitely an attractive situation for him. We've obviously been hearing about that since the whole wedding toast a few years ago, or last summer. So I think there is a attachment there. I think he does want to go to New York. I would say that's his first option. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, if he waits the season out and becomes a free agent, he's going to have to turn down a lot of money to go to New York, obviously. So, really, I think the way he becomes a Knick is if they are able to do the same thing they did with Carmelo Anthony and they extend and trade for him. I mean, it's really funny how similar this situation is to Carmelo's situation last year. I mean, down to the exact same agent who did this because, I mean, remember, Chris Paul went with Creative Arts Agency just like Carmelo was last year with Leon Rose. So, really, I mean, I think they're going to have to do the exact same thing. Knicks fans need to hope for a similar conclusion to the Carmelo, or to what happened with the Carmelo situation, where maybe the Hornets talk to some other teams, maybe they get some nice offers, but at the end of the day, Chris Paul has to say, I'm only going to sign an extension if I go to the Knicks, and then really, and then that's when the Knicks maybe can offer, I don't know, Chauncey Billups, Iman Shumpert, Landry Fields, and a pick for Chris Paul, or something like that, that would work under the cap and kind of give the Hornets something, but I mean, Chris Paul is really not – he has leverage here, just like Carmelo did last year, and he has a desire to play in New York. So, I mean, it worked for the Knicks and their fans last year, so we'll see if it does again.
No, definitely. And listen, as a Knicks fan, I've had season tickets for 10 years now. Like, I'm really excited, man. You have to listen. I've missed, as a fan, I've missed, like, four home games in the last 10 years. I mean, that's pretty sick. And if you
that's
watch
impressive.
Any or knew anything about New York Knicks basketball from 2001 to 2010, it was some of – the worst basketball you have ever seen, from, you know, Clarence Weatherspoon just bricking layups to Quintel Woods airballing 360 dunks. I mean, and all the off the court issues. I mean, it's hard for me to feel bad for any other team. I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why you're seeing
every day they were in the news for something dumb.
I think fans are going to appreciate it more after going through all that. I mean, there's no question there. I mean, any team's fans would be excited if you built the core that the Knicks have and have a chance to add another third star, possibly a Chris Paul or Darren Williams or Dwight Howard or any of these guys. But, I mean, the fact that New York fans, I mean, they obviously love basketball. They've had to go through a couple of rough years, so I think they're going to appreciate it even more. They're not going to take it for granted. And, I mean, that's also a reason that you've seen the Knicks raise ticket prices recently, too. They know they can, and they know they have a better product now.
So
I know you're feeling that.
Oh, absolutely. Right now, obviously, it's still on the court for the Knicks. You know, Chris Paul isn't here, so right now, that's the starting lineup. We don't know who the center is. It could be Roni. Could be, they could bring somebody in. Obviously, Amari at the 4, Melo at the 3, probably Landry at the 2, and Chauncey at the 1, which I'm actually kind of excited. A lot of people haven't talked about this, and I'm going to. Right now, Chris Paul is the Nick, and Chauncey Billups is the point guard. I'm actually obviously excited about Melo and Amari full season together. Well, not full season, but you know what I mean. Full season together. I'm actually excited to see what Chauncey Billups can bring to the table this year. I think with the rest, I thought before he got injured by, you know, your boy Dwight Howard, need him on that Tuesday night, need Chauncey. I actually think Chauncey can bring, you know, I think Chauncey, he was playing well. I think Chauncey has a chance to bring a lot to the table this year, especially from a leadership role also. What are your thoughts
on
that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm a big fan of Chauncey. I agree. I actually spent some time with Chauncey this summer out in Las Vegas. He was training with Joe Abunasar at Impact Basketball, and I mean, he was working out every day, but the big thing that really stood out to me was that he was also coaching the younger guys. He was coaching draft prospects like Josh Selby and some of the Kawhi Leonard, some of these younger guys. I mean, there's no question he's a great leader, and he's the kind of guy that you'd love to have around your team. Obviously, he's not going to bring the same production as the Chris Paul. I mean, not many point guards in the league can, but he's still a great contributor. He's still a great veteran leader. So I'm excited to see what he can do as well. I mean, last year we saw him come in, and it's always difficult for a point guard to change systems, change coaches, change teammates mid-year. Obviously, he had a lot of his guys around him still because he was in that package to the Knicks. But, I mean, seeing him, like you said, not a full season, but after an off season, after knowing who's going to be around him and after working out with these guys for a while, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how productive he can be. He looked good in Las Vegas, and I think, like you said, his leadership, and he can still play too. I mean, let's give him some credit here. He's still a good point guard. I mean, he's still productive.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell fans. Like, this guy can play.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's Chris Paul or you have some chump running the team. I mean, he's still a good player. So even if they don't land a Chris Paul or this takes a while, I mean, maybe if it stretches out to the trade deadline, which will probably be in March, I mean, they still have a good chance to start the season off nice. And or if they don't land Chris Paul, then, I mean, they're still a great team, and you still have to keep an eye on them in the East because, I mean, they were a good team last year, and now after having time to gel and get on the same page, I mean, they're only going to continue to get better.
Yeah, I'll tell you a quick, cool story about Chauncey. Obviously, he got hurt, and of course, he got hurt in Game 1 versus Celtics. But I went up to Game 1 versus Celtics, first playoff game in 10 years. I had never been so mad after that game. But anyway, it was Game 4. The Knicks were about to get swept, obviously. But the Knicks were actually down, I think, 10 or 15 at halftime in Game 4 at the Garden. And the team was in the locker room. I know exactly how it went down. Basically, Chauncey was in a suit, takes a clipboard and rallies the whole team around him, and he draws up a game plan. And, you know, the Knicks come back. They end up losing anyway. But there's not a lot of guys in the NBA that can take a clipboard that are players and have the whole team rally around you and get their full attention, like Chauncey Billups.
And you know the funny thing, too? I was actually joking with him. I was asking Chauncey, so are we going to have to start calling you Coach Billups when you're done playing? And he's like, no, I'm never going to coach. I'm not even interested in that. I never want to be a coach. And I don't understand. I mean, he's coaching guys in Vegas. He's teaching these rookies. He was teaching the rookie point guards what to do. And like you said, I mean, he can rally his guys. He can pick up a clipboard. He looks comfortable. Yet he still says he doesn't want to coach when he's done playing. I don't get it.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys say that. Another thing going on with the NBA, Alex, you know, we've talked so much on Twitter, the show, the blogs about free agents. Who's going to be a free agent this year? Who's going to be a free agent next year? Who's going to be a free agent in 10 years? Here's a good question that a lot of people haven't really spoke about. Who are some players that may be on the trade block this year? They maybe have 2-3 years left of their deal that are good players that could be available via trade for any team, that is.
Yeah, I mean, we heard the big one, obviously, it seems to be Rajon Rondo. I'm not sure what happened in Boston to where they're aggressively shopping him now. I mean, they're definitely talking to teams and looking at offers, and there were a few rival GMs today that were wondering, what happened with that? I mean, did you hear anything? I mean, why is he sitting there on the block now? Because I think that was one of the more surprising names to kind of surface. Because obviously it seemed like they were ready to build around him and bring some young pieces like a Jeff Green so that he can have some young guys after maybe Paul Pierce, Kevin Durant, or Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen are done playing. But now if they're shopping him, I mean, that seems pretty strange. And I think some rival GMs are thinking the same thing. But around the league, I mean, there's guys. You've heard Paul Millsap as a guy that could be traded. I mean, it seems like right now all the focus is on the Dwight Howards, the Chris Pauls and stuff. But, I mean, also looking at the guys that have been offered for them, the Brook Lopez's, these are guys that definitely could be shopped. And I mean, teams with this year's free agent class, there's not a ton of guys that are really huge game changers. I mean, it's not like last year's free agent class where you have a bunch of star players. There's been a lot of teams who have cap room that say, instead of going out and signing a free agent, let's make a trade and take back some of that money and let a team just dump a player onto our team. So I think you're going to see a lot of that too. And even though free agency is going to kick off on December 9th and you're going to hear a lot of rumors surrounding that, I mean, there's a lot of teams that want to be active in the trade market as well.
Interesting player I was talking about, I love for the Knicks to look at, for me personally, and probably other teams as well. What are you hearing about Michael Redd? I mean, is he in shape? How's his knee? What situation are we going on with Michael Redd?
You know, we actually caught up with him at the end of last season. He said that he wants to return to the Bucks. He said that
really?
With everything that happened with his injury, that he could see himself returning to the Bucks and retiring with the team and playing there. But obviously, I mean, that could have just been the right thing to say at the time, and now he's going to weigh his options. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. I think he's healthy right now. I mean, who knows how long that can last, because with an injury like that, I mean, obviously you can get hurt at any time. But I think there is some mutual interest from both sides. I mean, I think Michael Redd would return to Milwaukee, and I think the Bucks like to have him back. But, I mean, if a team like Chicago or another team that needs a shooting guard comes calling and offers some more money, then it may be hard for him to turn it down, especially if they're a contending team. But, I mean, if all else fails, I wouldn't be surprised to see him return to Milwaukee.
Who is most likely around the league that's going to get amnesty? And think about this before you give me the answer. Think about, I'm just going to throw his name out there, like a Rashard Lewis, who's still a good player, obviously not worth the money he got. And that's not enough knock to Rashard, but who's going to turn down that money? But think about a guy like Rashard Lewis. Let's just say he were to get amnesty and like a Boston or Miami picks him up. That could change the complexion of power. So, that said, who are some guys around the league that are possibly getting amnesty and maybe where are their destinations after?
Yeah, I'm actually doing an article on that. I sent out text messages to executives and agents, and I'm compiling all the results about players they think will be amnestied. And I think right now the five players I heard the most were Baron Davis, Brandon Roy, Rashard Lewis, Richard Hamilton, and the surprising one was Ron Artest. A lot of people said
really?
Ron Artest.
Wow.
Yeah. And the one thing, I tweeted that out today, the one thing that was surprising about that, I mean, Luke Walton seems like he'd be if you want to use the amnesty this year, then and use it on Luke Walton. But if he has back issues and he's forced to retire from that, then maybe they look at Ron Artest. But, I mean, the one thing I do think is I think you're going to see a lot of teams hold on to that amnesty rather than using it this year. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to save some money right now, but, I mean, you have to think long-term in some situations. I mean, look at the Lakers, for example. In 3 years from now, the luxury tax is going to be a lot more restrictive and really punish teams who have a lot of money. I mean, you're going to have to pay $3 for the dollar on a guy like Kobe Bryant. 3 years from now, Kobe Bryant's making $30 million in the final year of his deal, which means the Lakers, $3 to the dollar, they're paying $90 million for an older Kobe Bryant. Now, if you're the Lakers, you use your amnesty clause on a Ron Artest right now to save a couple dollars, or do you wait and see if Kobe declines and maybe use it on him down the road?
No
obviously, right
way.
Now,
you think the
listen.
No way.
It's tough right now to imagine, and I mean, you can just hear the fans screaming right now in Los Angeles.
I mean, I'm not a Laker. That's a legend right there. I mean
What happens if he declines? What happens if he gets injured? I mean, a lot can change in 2 years. And I mean,
no,
he's had
I know what you're saying.
Older.
I have no problem. Let's say it happened to Amari with the Knicks in 2 years. His knees are shot, and the Knicks amnesty Amari. I can't put Amari up there with Earl Monroe, Walt Frazier, and Patrick Ewing. So, all right, fine. The Knicks were amnesty Amari in 2 years. I hope they don't. I'm saying what if he's not a cult like them. I mean, to cut Kobe Bryant. I mean,
I'm just saying, that's something that teams have to think about. I mean, you have to think long-term.
I know
this.
It's a business,
and,
but...
Yeah, but $90 million for Kobe Bryant when he's... It's not Kobe Bryant from a couple of years ago. It's not even Kobe Bryant from this year. I mean, we're talking a couple of years from now. So that's what I think a lot of teams have to think about. I mean, do you make the cut now that saves some money, or do you think long-term and use this on a guy who's going to be making a lot of money down the road? So I think the one thing I kept hearing from GMs and from agents is that less guys are going to be waived than everyone's predicting. I mean, a lot of teams are going to put this in their back pocket and wait to see if they can use it down the road. I mean, I know there's a few that have already said that. I think the Milwaukee Bucks, the Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, there's some teams that have come out already and said they're not going to use it. So that's something that's going to happen, I think. But out of the guys that could be cut this year, I think Brandon Roy is the guy that we keep hearing the most about, just because his kind of beef with Paul Allen there. So he's the guy that keeps coming up. And like you said, Rashard Lewis, there's some guys like that. So, but like I said, I mean, there's a lot of teams who need to think long-term and really consider holding on to this thing and using it in the future rather than using it right now.
Yeah, I guess as a backtrack on your Kobe thing, as you know, I'm big. You know what I love to do? We haven't talked much about it tonight, but I love to talk to other fans. I know you're a Magic fan. I love to talk about other fans, maybe other bloggers, like I, you know, and about like different things about their team. And that was just so interesting what you said. But I guess if Kobe was like cool with it, and it was, you know, because you don't want, if you're a Laker fan, imagine the Lakers do that. He doesn't come back to a game for 30 years. Like, you don't want like a Yogi Berra Yankee situation, like from a fan standpoint. I mean, that's just bad PR, but it's also a business too. So I definitely get it, but that would be insane.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, if I were the Lakers GM, if I'm Mitch Kupchak in a couple of years, then I don't want to be the guy that's known for cutting Kobe Bryant either. And keep in mind, if you use the amnesty clause on a guy, he can't just turn around and re-sign with your team for cheap. It's not like he can turn around and do that. So yeah, if you do that, you're getting rid of Kobe Bryant, and I don't think any guy wants that on his resume. But I'm just saying that's the kind of situation that teams need to think long-term of and really consider, because right now it may seem like a good move to use the amnesty clause just because you have it and you want to save some money. But, I mean, I think teams need to look down the road. And situations like that where you are going to be paying $3 to the dollar for a contract, and a guy like Kobe Bryant, he goes from making $30 million to, when you're taxed, I mean, that becomes $90 million. So you have to really consider that those kind of things.
No, that's definitely crazy. Real quick, Alex, before we let you bounce on the show tonight, give me some things to look out for this year, some surprises you got in mind that could possibly, not obviously more of a prediction, but give me some things that to look out for around the league this year that will open my eyes and my listeners' eyes.
You know, I mean, as far as breakout players go, there's a couple guys. I mean, I like Anthony Morrow in New Jersey. I think that he's developed a nice relationship with Darren Williams there. And I think that with some more playing time and coming back from that injury, I think he's gonna be productive. That's a tough one. I actually do like Iman Shumpert a lot. I know Knicks fans would like to hear that. I mean, I've spent a lot of time with Iman at IMG down here in Florida. He's been working out, and I know all the madness surrounding the whole Knicks point guard situation right now. I mean, Iman seems like more of a trade chip to Knicks fans than anything, but I mean, he's a real athletic. He's long. He's a learner too. So I think having him behind Chauncey Billups is going to be real great for that team, because I mean, Chauncey, like we said, is a great teacher. He can mentor Iman, and Iman really wants to learn and get better. So I'm curious to see how he does this year. I'm curious to see what he does, and I want to watch him. Who are some others? I mean, there's some free agents. I'm curious to see where they go in terms of guys like you
said.
What about
your boy Vince? What about Vince?
My boy Vince, yeah. I mean, that's going to be interesting, too. I mean, I do think Phoenix will waive him. And then guys like that, I mean, just some veterans who, even like a Brandon Roy, who could be amnestied. I mean, any of these veterans, I'm curious to see where they land. I mean, does Chicago go out and get a shooting guard? Because if they do, all of a sudden they're real scary. I mean, and not only that, I mean, these guys in China, Wilson Chandler, J.R. Smith, Kenyon Martin, I've been told emphatically that they're not going to be let out of their contracts. So all of a sudden you have a situation where a team can go out and sign a quality free agent in mid-February or early March, whenever that guy's team season ends. So all of a sudden, I mean, it's going to be real interesting. And there's going to be a lot of storylines this year. And obviously with a shortened season, too, there's going to be a lot of chaos. But it's gonna be a lot of fun, and like I said, better than no season, better than still talking lockout.
Actually, real quick on the amnesty thing, got me thinking of out in Golden State. You got three guys out there, and Ellis, Beatrice, and Lee, who I love, that are making a ton of money. Any chance one of those three gets amnesty?
I'm not sure. I think there was a report today that said someone came out and said that they weren't going to use it, but I'm not sure. I mean, if they do, I think Beandrin is the one that's going to go, but I mean, I'm not real sure what they're going to do. Like I said, I think there was a report today. I'm not sure if it was one of the beat writers there or who said it, but they basically said that they weren't going to use it. But if they did, I mean, I think Beandrin is the guy that you cut.
All right, well, Alex, man, it was great talking. Always great talking basketball with you. Hopefully I come to New York sometime to a game with the Garden. But it's great talking hoops with you, man. You always bring the energy. I always appreciate that.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man, Alex. Have a great night.
All right, you too. Take care.
That was Alex Kennedy from HoopsWorld.com right here on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio, talking some NBA basketball. Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, Darren Williams. It's always about the off-the-court stuff, huh? It's all good. The KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. We got time for a few more calls. We'll talk to my Hornets man on Monday, I believe. We were running late, so Ryan Schwan will probably join us Monday right here on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio from Hornets247.com. So let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Ralph from New York. Ralph, you're on the air at the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Anthony, what's going on?
What's up, Ralph?
What's good? This is Ralph Guerrero from Twitter. What's up?
What's going on, brother?
So I got two words for you, Anthony. Jeff Foster. Jeff Foster.
What's that?
Jeff Foster, Indiana Pacers. Jeff Foster.
I mean, you're the two best words you got. Is your first call of the year is Jeff Foster?
No. Defense, toughness, and rebounds. I mean, we could sit here and talk about Chris Paul and Darren Williams all night. That's expected. That's what everybody wants to talk about, but something that will really help this team is Jeff Foster, defense and rebounding, and he doesn't need to score the basketball to be effective.
No, I mean, listen, Jeff Foster, to me, Jeff Foster is just going to be a Pacer for life. That's all I can say about that. You're right, he would bring all those things. I just think he's just going to be a Pacer for life. I don't know why I think that, I just do.
Well, I can see that, and also, I know I heard Alex saying that they don't think they're going to use it, but Beatrice, I think was still a nice role with
him. Yeah, he hasn't played well in the last few years. Beatrice has been terrible.
Right, definitely not living up after he got that contract.
No, it's not even close.
No, but definitely, I think, you know, in a perfect world, of course, I would take Dwight Howard and then either Chauncey or Steve on the cheap, but it just looks like there's no question
listen,
about it.
Of course it'd be great to have all these guys, but I think this
right.
is the first time, I don't mean to like be repetitive, but I'm going to be. I mean, this is the first time in 10, 11 years the Knicks have had a chance to go into a season and
exactly.
compete for one of those top four or five spots in the Eastern Conference.
Exactly.
And listen, it's all about making your team better, and I get that. But like, you got fans coming up here talking about other superstars. You have Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony in their front.
That's pretty damn awesome.
That's
exactly why the first thing I said was Jeff Foster, to not talk about all these superstars to build.
Right. No, you start. Yeah, exactly. I'm with you.
No, I think that's what we need. Of course, Kurt Thomas, but it sounds like he's going to try and go.
Yeah,
back
but
to
Big
the
Kurt,
big
I don't know how much Big Kurt can give you. Big Kurt's like 48 years old right now, you know?
Right. Well, I think he can play a part just like he did with the Bulls, 10, 12 minutes a game, or, you know, every third game when Ronnie Turioff is not playing anymore because he injured his thigh or something.
Right, yeah. Ronnie only plays one. Every game Ronnie plays is his first game back from injury.
Right. I just think the biggest thing we need is an on-ball big man defender. I mean, because we have...
No, that's what I opened my show with on Monday. That's exactly what the Knicks need.
Right. Because we have plenty of weak side defenders. We didn't have no one to actually guard someone who's posting up inside.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, it's going to get crazy in a few days, so just enjoy. It's not going to get crazy like LeBron Wade crazy, but it's going to get crazy.
Exactly. A flurry of moves. Real small.
Absolutely. All right, Ralph, thanks for checking in, man. Always appreciate it.
All right,
take care. 646-478-5554 is the number, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. We got time for one last call, so let's make it a good one. Let's go to KV from Jamaica, Queens. KV, you're on the air, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Yo, what's going on, man? How you feeling?
I'm good, KV. How about yourself?
I'm chilling, man. I just want to say
good
that
deal.
I'm happy. I just want to say I'm happy and ecstatic that the season is back in.
Absolutely.
You know?
So am I, man. I'm happy and ecstatic to watch basketball and happy and ecstatic to talk to all you guys, man. Life is good, man.
Yeah, man. Like, I just wanted to say, like, I think, like, when it comes to the small owners, this has been my take on it, and I did actually post it on the blog one time. I don't know if you saw it. What I said was that if I'm not correct, I stated this on the blog, and this was my thing about the small market owners that,
okay.
Like, during the duration of the lockout, my thing was that I saw basically Wake Forest take Tim Duncan and basically make him and mold him into a championship player through fundamentals.
Yep.
Because remember when he first came in the NBA, his nickname was Mr. Fundamental.
The big fundamental.
Exactly. So, and he did that within 2 years of being on a decent team. So I say, my thing is that if a college can do that, why can't NBA teams and management do that with good players? Because everybody.
Well, I think it's happened with good players. I mean, that's a good question.
You know what I'm saying? I say that because everybody's hooping and hollering about the top 11 players that basically run the whole league as far as the economics is concerned.
Right.
Like, as years go on, like, players like that, I felt that in my bones were actually going to be good and max players in the future. They showing up, like players like Booty Gay, you know what I'm saying? Players like Blake Griffin, young players, you know, that's on the rise, like O.J. Mayo, Derrick Rose. These players they actually came out last season and showed that their management, what they learned from, you know, the new coaching and the new staff, that they can actually be max players. So my thing is that why small market owners worry about the LeBrons and the Wades when they have players on their team that
because guys like LeBron and Wade bring in money. The fifth or sixth man in a basketball team don't bring revenue to your arena.
No. I understand that. But my whole thing is that you can mold players into good players, and you can make your small market. You can take the best advantage of your small market just by molding your players into good players.
Yeah, no, you're right. And you know, listen, we've seen that a lot. Alex and I were talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, they drafted Ray Allen. They drafted Glenn Robinson. They drafted Vinny Baker, and they built that team into a team that got to the Eastern Conference Finals in 2001. That was a contender for 4 or 5 years. So there's a team, for example, that built players, and then they traded all of them. You know, and so those guys fell off. So look at the Spurs.
Exactly.
They're a small team that builds players. I mean, there's been teams that have done that, and then just, you know, trades happen, people get old, and you know. They score up town, top in the raw, and now best friends become strangers. It's just what happened.
Exactly. And I think, like, as far as the Knicks bringing in CP3, I mean, why not? What's the problem? I don't see the big problem. We got Billups' contract. That was the reason that management even, you know, basically guaranteed his contract, because they could have bought him out and had more money in this free agency to actually shoot for Mark Gasol or somebody else that they deemed that was important. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't see why we can't bring him in.
As a Knicks fan, I'm just excited about the team with Amari Stoudemire, Carmelo Anthony. I'm very excited about seeing Chauncey Billups. You know what I mean? If Chris Paul becomes a Knick, which is a good thing, a good chance he will, I'll welcome him. But right now, he's not the point guard. So I'm going to... You know, hopefully on the next show, the next season, we'll, especially when the games start, we'll really talk about what's this team doing on the court. But right now, there's a lot of stories, and, you know, we'll talk about it.
Just want to see how we're going to really work our way into filling out the roster. That's my thing. Like, as far as, like, you know,
the Knicks have 5 free agents right now. So,
it's
very
exactly.
interesting.
I want to see, like, I think they should bring back players like Sean Williams. I like what he did last
year.
I think they will.
I think they should bring back Sean. I like Sean Williams a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I like what he did last season. He came out and really represented. He had a lot of heart and put a lot of passion in behind what he was doing. He showed that he kind of wanted to be a Knick in general, not just in basketball. You know what I'm saying? Not just on.
Sean, to be honest, KV, Sean really tailed off in the second half of the year. It was almost like the first half he couldn't miss a shot. Remember, he didn't play all year, he played that game down in New Orleans. And then he was on fire. Then the first 20 games he played, he couldn't miss a shot. But then the second half of the year, there was almost a lid on the ball.
Yeah, true. I agree. But I think maybe that was just part of him kind of getting back in the groove and being to the NBA. You never know.
Right.
Because
he just got hot early, I guess, huh?
Yeah. He had his little woes and everything that he went through, and Donnie gave him a chance, and he showed improved. He showed improvement.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, anyway, KB, thanks for checking in, man. Really appreciate it.
No doubt. I appreciate it, man. And Knicks always, man. NYK, you know it.
No doubt, KB. Thanks for checking in. Whew! As always, man, it's been a great show tonight right here on the KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Sorry about those technical difficulties for about 5 minutes in the middle of the show. We'll hammer that out. Like I said, you know, it's the first couple shows back, so we're... still working our way back, thanks to Brad Wolf. screen and the calls tonight. Did a great job. Obviously, if you just tuned in now, you know, go to thenixblog.com. Listen back to tonight's show. If you want to listen to old shows from last year with Spike Lee, Jadakiss, and any of those guys, you know, Walt Frazier, Mike Breen, go free, they're all there. All the shows are on iTunes also, so go to iTunes and type in my name, and you'll be great. I want to thank Anthony Mason, former New York Knicks, for coming on. He was great. I want to thank Alex Kennedy from HoopsWorld.com. It's been a great show right here on TheKnicksBlog.com,
yeah.
KnicksBlog Radio.
Cash,
I will be back on
roll.
Monday night, 9 p.m. So always follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG, and me on Facebook, HoopsWorld.com.